Mark chapter number 2 tonight. Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 for the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. If God will help me tonight, I want to show you the phrase that really just jumped off the paper at me. And it's in verse number 3. And it's two words, bringing one. Bringing one. That's what I want to speak to you about tonight. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for your word. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us in the service, and God, that you would anoint our Father the preaching of thy word. Anoint, dear God, the hearing of thy word. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. Challenge us tonight, our Father. We know, Lord, that you're able to do that. And God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen. Again, I want to thank you for being here in the service tonight. The microphone, how does it sound tonight? Does it sound all right? About right? Everybody okay? Sound about right back there, Brother John, where you're at? Okay, we worked on it up here for about an hour yesterday. I say we. Brother Richard and myself and the sound men, we met, and there was some adjustments that needed to be done for sure. So hopefully tonight things should be a lot better. Bringing one. The thought came to my mind. We had some good visits last night. And, you know, Brother Don said you could grow the church by visiting, or you can grow the church by having babies. But he said he thought having babies was better. And I kind of texted him back and said, I think we'll do both. Amen. Just have babies and visit too. Amen. But we had some good visits last night. And it will surprise me if a young man we visited with last night, it will surprise me if he doesn't come and bring his family and get right in here with us at Bible Way. Amen. It'll surprise me if that doesn't happen. And I want to share with you a thought tonight. What if everybody in this building were to ask God on a regular basis, God, would you help me to find one? Would you help me to bring one? Amen. Into the house of God. Amen. Now, sometimes that could be a Christian that's maybe out of sorts. And how many of y'all have ever been out of sorts at some place in your life? Amen. And it's good to have somebody come alongside and encourage you, ain't it? Amen. Say, get back in there. Amen. And I remember that movie, Sheffy, and I thought it was amazing. He stood up to preach his first sermon, and things wasn't going too well, he didn't think, so he just closed his Bible and run out the door. And there's a deacon went out there and tackled him in the front yard and said, "Get back in there, boy." Amen. And somebody said, "Yeah, them deacons nowadays, they're not trying to get them back in there, trying to get them out." Amen. I thank God we don't have no deacons like that around here. Amen. If we do, they would never tell me because they know I know how to shoot. Amen. Amen. I'm just kidding you, man. I love every one of you. Amen. We have a good time together. But you know, I believe it would make a difference. I really do. What if everybody in the youth group said, "God, this year, we've got what, 7-8 months left in the year. And what if everybody in the youth group said, God, would you help me to bring one?" You see, I think a lot of times we're maybe looking at numbers like in 50s or hundreds. But I believe God wants us to think about one tonight, about bringing one. Amen. Bringing one that's lost. Bringing one that's wayward. Amen. Bringing one, beloved, they're out there. They're out there everywhere. We got to speak to a man last night that's not saved. And he said he would watch the video. He's moving from here to Clarksville, Tennessee, he and his wife. And they're going through a very trying time right now. But I want you to know this, beloved, God lined that up. He lined that visit up because I was going to make it Saturday. They would have already been gone on Saturday. Amen. And the last few days they've been in and out in the moving process. But God let us go right at the right time and get to see them. Amen. And talk to them last night. Now that man may never be a part of our church. But I'll tell you what, my prayer is he'll be a part of the family of God. Amen. And tonight, as I look at this scripture, I want to give you how the Lord is just working in my heart. Easter's coming up. And a lot of times people will go to church on Easter when they don't go any other time. And so I think Saturday is a very, very important time to get the flyers out and maybe just bring one. Amen. I was thinking, Brother John, when God prepared my heart this morning, early this morning, I was thinking about the man, I won't name him, that you told me you knocked on his door. And Brother John told me a few weeks back, he said, "Pastor," said, "he's been there just faithful as clockwork ever since." Amen. And, it don't always work that way. But I believe one of the reasons we have not is because we ask not. I believe we'd get on our face and ask God to give us one. You know what I mean? You say, "Well, Pastor, what are you going to do if God gives you one?" I'm going to ask for another one. Say amen. And I believe one at a time. That's how God saves people. That's how God helps people. And here are four that the Word of God teaches us that's bringing one. I want to give you some things tonight. You say, "Pastor, why? What would be the motive in bringing one?" I want you to look with me, if you will, at chapter 1, verse 32, down through verse number 34. The Bible said here, I'm looking at a motive now to bring one. "And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak." Look at this last phrase, "because they knew him." Think about that tonight. There's another passage that says, the devils believe and tremble. Amen. A lot of people believe with their mind, but they've never trusted Jesus from the heart. And the devils knew who Jesus was. So when we look at a motive tonight, the first thing I want to say about it, his motive is, our motive is his presence. You see, why did you back up to verse 32, Pastor? Because in verse number 1, the second word is again. In other words, he showed up in verse number 32 in chapter number 1 and things happened. And in chapter number 2, the second word in that chapter is again. How many would like to see God do it again? Amen. I mean, just His presence. His presence was real to Moses. His presence filled the tabernacle. The glory of God in that cloud, amen. The Shekinah glory filled the house. And God is in the again business, amen. And so that would be a motive, because we could get people here to enjoy the presence of God. I was talking to Brother Dale a while ago, and he's got his plates are full. Right now it's running over every side. He's got his heart full and his mind full, and he wants to do this and he wants to do that. And pastor comes along and wants to lay something else on his plate. Amen. I'm just telling you, we're going to have a good time. Amen. But listen, God is in the again business. That ought to motivate us tonight, His presence, to know we could just get people where He is present. Then the second thing tonight that ought to motivate us is His people. Let me ask you something tonight. How many think some of the greatest people in the whole wide world go to church right here at Bible Way? Honey, I love the family of God at Bible Way. That don't make us no better than any church out there. But listen to me. I want people to come in here and meet God's people. Amen. And I believe that the Bible said here in Capernaum, after some days, it was noised that He, that's the Lord Jesus, was in the house. So you had His presence. It was real. And straightway many were gathered together. That's His people. Aren't you glad? Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother Jason's making announcements about this Sunday, making announcements about next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And listen, in my heart and mind, I'm going on. Amen. Even from there, what God's going to do. But I'm glad I'm not one that dreads coming to the house of God. You say, that's easy for you. You're the pastor. And I'm going to tell you something now. You can lock it or lump it. But if you're right with God, you don't dread coming to the house of God either. You look forward to getting together with God's people. And you want God to come down and meet with His people. Amen. And I believe that's what, another motive to bring one because of God's people. Have you noticed, I mean, God saved Devin and Haley. Have you noticed them youngins come in here and they brought them little babies in here? Them little babies running around like they've been here their whole life. Yeah. Amen? You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a great deal of love among God's people. Amen. We don't just pick this one and pick that one. Honey, it don't matter if you come in a Cadillac or if you come on a church van. Amen. It don't matter if you smell good or you don't smell good. If you got money or you ain't got money. I thank God around here somebody going to be loving on you. Amen. We love them. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. Our motive ought to be His presence, but our motive ought to be His people. But watch this. It gets even gooder than that. You come on down in verse number 2. Inasmuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And in verse number 2, let's look at the rest of the verse. And He preached the word unto them. I believe that ought to motivate us to get somebody, to get one, to go after one, to bring one. Amen. Because of His presence, because of His people, because of His preaching. You say, Pastor, it ain't going to be Jesus preaching here Sunday. No, but it's His word. Hallelujah. Amen. God's preachers, they don't have no right to preach anything else. God calls men to preach the blessed word of God. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what Paul told the young preacher Timothy. And thank God we can still do that in these days. Whether we're young or whether we're old, it's the same old book and the same old message that'll still get the job done in these days. Amen. Oh, thank God that motivates me. Amen. I don't even know. Listen, I've got so much on my heart that people on my heart, the people on my heart. I'm going to have to go see them. I think maybe Saturday. There's a teenager I got in my mind. I'm going to grab that teenage boy, and I think me and him's going together. Say amen. Maybe he ain't never been soul winning or never been visiting before, but he's fixing to go. If he wants to go with Pastor, we're going to go, amen, and we're going to see what God will do, amen. I'm burdened over these people that are raising their hand and saying, I'm lost without God, and they've not been saved yet. I want to go find one and bring them, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. His preaching, he preached unto them the word. Now, you know, the Bible don't say what he preached. But you know something I found out? Listen to me. Don't get me wrong right here. But don't get me wrong. I've heard stories about pastors preaching on tithing and people walking the aisle and getting saved. You know what the deal is? God honors his word. A preacher might be preaching on heaven, somebody gets saved. He might be preaching on hell, somebody gets saved. He might be preaching on Mary had a little lamb, and somebody gets saved. As long as it's the word of God, amen. I believe God will honor it, amen. He didn't say, beloved, our words wouldn't return void. He said his word would not return void. I wonder what Jesus was preaching that day in the house, but I know this. It was the word, because the Bible said he preached the word unto them. Amen. Amen. I sat under a preacher years ago, and I'll not go into any detail. Years ago, before I was saved, and the church was going along good, and it sure wasn't that man of God's fault that I wasn't saved. Amen. I mean that. It wasn't his fault that I wasn't saved. I was full of pride. I had a head knowledge, and it was hard to back up, amen. But thank God, after 6.5 years of being miserable, I finally backed up and got saved, amen. And got a good dose of that Holy Ghost salvation, amen. But I watched something happen, beloved. I watched people begin to leave the church. There was a lot of family in the church. And sometimes that preaching, I don't know if it was directed on purpose, but it was hitting them. You know what I mean? They say if you want to, you know, find out who it's hitting, throw the rock, and said the one it hits will squall. Amen. And anyway, then what happened? I learned something. I hadn't even been saved yet. But you can't preach to them that ain't there. And that's what he started doing, preaching to them that ain't there. And he quit feeding them that was there. An old preacher told me years ago, old Brother Howard Robinson from Bristol, I love that man of God. I'm telling you, he's in heaven now with his daughter and with his wife. Amen. He talked about it a lot. Brother Howard told me a long time ago, he said, now listen to me, preacher. He said, you shear sheep once a year. He said, you go to shearing them every Sunday and you'll look around and won't have no sheep. He said, you better feed them every Sunday. And he said, about once a year, they might need to be sheared. Amen. Takes me back to something Brother Gary said when I first come here. About 6 months into it, I had to preach a message that peeled the paint off the wall. He said, Pastor, we don't care how rough it gets, long as we know you love us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know a lot, but I believe this house was full, and they couldn't even get in at the door, Brother Junior, because there's a Savior doing the preaching. That loved them, amen. He loved them. He's trying to help them. He wasn't trying to hurt them. He's trying to help them, amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a wonderful motive to bring one. Secondly, tonight, I want to look at the means. The means. Brother Jason, I had him to mention a while ago. What was that song? I will not be denied. These four guys right here that wouldn't be denied. They couldn't get in the door, so they said, boys, I tell you what, anybody got a chainsaw? We'll just jump up on the roof. We'll cut us a hole in the roof. Amen. I don't even think that thatch roof, I don't even think you needed a chainsaw. They probably just parted the stuff back and went down between two rafters. Amen. I don't know. But the Word of God said he was born of four. So that tells me, or at least I think, beloved, if they're letting him down, then there's some kind of a stretcher type deal, amen. He can't do it himself, amen. And everybody's got a corner. And let me just say this at Bible way. Ain't nobody else going to hold the rope on your corner. If every one of us would say, God, I don't want nobody else, amen. I don't want no rock praising you in my place. And I don't want nobody holding the rope that I'm supposed to be holding. I believe it would help us, amen. Now, let me ask you something. How many's got sense enough to know if you got four and you're letting him down, and one of them turns loose of the rope, what happens to the man in the middle? He gonna be dumped, ain't he? You know what? Bloomingdale's full of people that's been dumped. They've been dumped by the world. And listen to me, you might not like it, but a lot of them's been dumped by the church. Been hurt. Church hurt. The only way they're going to get back, beloved, is if somebody will grab the rope and hold the rope and get them to Jesus. Amen. I tell people it's been hurt. I'll tell you what helps me. You get hurt, crawl up to the foot of the cross. Look up at Jesus hanging on that cross, and I tell you what you'll do. You'll wad your hurt up and you'll put it back in your pocket. You'll say, God, by the grace of God, I'm going on another mile. Amen. I'm not going to quit. We've all been hurt. What are the means, preacher? We see the motive to bring one. How is it that it can take place? Number one, there needs to be a determination. A lot of people would have got to the door and said, well, you can't get in there today. Now, let me ask you something. How many's ever been to a restaurant and you didn't have determination, and yet you've been to a restaurant when you did have determination? It didn't matter, beloved, this back plumb out the door. How long? 45 minutes. Anybody got a place to sit down? They got determination, amen. Going to get in there one way or the other, amen. With my wife and I, I don't know where we had been. We was traveling, and I'd heard all these advertisements on the radio. I believe Sean Hannity had it on there about Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Boy, I thank God Almighty, Brother Jason. They put that menu and them prices on the outside of the building. Y'all are laughing. You know what, brother? Dale, that just tore my determination all to pieces. Amen. I said, good night. That don't even include drinks. That don't even include dessert. Amen. I just didn't feel like spending $150, amen, to get something to eat. But you know what? What if we had that kind of determination? Let's just be honest for a minute. There's a whole lot of people. You know, they may even come Saturday morning out of obligation. We ought to come out of determination. God, I want you to help me. I want you to help me bring one. Bring one. And I'm going to tell you what God will do. It may not be the one, beloved, listen to me, that you invite. And you may not be the one to win that individual. But if you'll be faithful and you'll pray and you'll ask God to help you and get that Holy Ghost determination about you, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving in. I'm going to go a little further, amen. Some people go out and they just can't wait, beloved, to go out in maybe 30 minutes or maybe an hour or maybe 2 hours. Can't wait till the 2 hours is over. I'm going to tell you something right now. I can't wait to find that one. I might not find that one at 11 o'clock. I might not find him at 12 o'clock. It might be 1 or 1:30 before I find him. But I'm going looking for him. Amen. And I'm determined, amen, by the grace of God, to find one. Amen. To bring one. One. There's a determination. Secondly, a means. What are the means? There needs to be a desperation. You say, Pastor, do you believe these boys was desperate to get this man to Jesus? I believe they were. You see, it's one thing to say we believe there's an awful place called hell. It's another thing, beloved, to be desperate, to pray desperately that God has saved souls, to pray desperately that God would use us, that God would lead us. Amen. These men, there was a desperation. The Word of God said they come unto him bringing one. What's the next word? Sick. You know what Jesus said? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. There was a desperation. Amen. Little Bryson, he wasn't laying over at the hospital today doing that MRI on his head just to be doing something. Amen. He's had a headache for over a month. And I don't know what's going on, but God does know what's going on. And we really need to pray for him. Amen. But they're desperate. Why? The emergency MRI. They write on the top, stat. That means now. Amen. Let's take care of this. Let's find out what's going on. There's a desperation. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know, them boys could have looked at each other and said, well, it's full tonight. What do you think? We'll just bring him back tomorrow? Mm-mm, that ain't what they did. They wanted to get him to Jesus. They wanted to bring him to Jesus. They knew, listen to me carefully, we need to know this too. Brother Gary, we need to know we can't help him. But if we can get him to where Jesus is, he can help him. Amen. We're laborers together with God. We need to know we can't save them. We can't help them. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, you know one who can. The same one that helped you can help them. Amen. Bringing one. There's a desperation in these men's lives. And then when I look at the means, not only is there a determination, there's a desperation, but there's a dedication. I believe that needs to be. This is the Wednesday night crowd. I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe we need more dedicated Christians in the house of God. Consecrated, sanctified, set apart, meet for the Master's use. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, these men here were dedicated to the cause. They weren't going to give up easy. They were going to do what needed to be done. Amen. You know, I'm not trying to be funny, but in today's church, you'd have to have a committee meeting, and you'd have to get a committee together, and you'd have to get permission, and you'd have to find out how much it's going to cost to fix the hole in the roof. Y'all got all that, didn't you? These old boys, beloved, they were dedicated. They got up on the roof and said, all right, we got a hole, let's let him down. Amen. They let him down into the midst of the Lord Jesus. And let me give you this. You say, Pastor, how do you know these men were dedicated? I want you to think about this. When he saw, now listen, the Bible is accurate. The Bible didn't say when he saw his faith. It did not say. The man sick of the palsy, the Bible did not say when he saw his faith. Brother Houston, it said when he saw their faith. I believe that included all four of them as well as the guy in the middle. Amen. Because Jesus told the guy in the middle, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let me ask you something tonight. How many's ever heard somebody say something like this? I'll tell you, that old boy's lost without God. We need to just pray God will take sleep away from him. God will put crackers in his bed. How many's ever heard things like that? Let me ask you this. What'd be wrong with praying that God takes some sleep away from us? I'm not boasting, but I was up to 1 o'clock in the morning the other morning and couldn't sleep. Not choosing not to sleep, but burdened over a precious soul that left this church in tears Sunday morning. Are you listening? I'm telling you, beloved, they were dedicated to the cause. And that's what we need in this hour. Some people, beloved, listen, that will say, I want to bring one. You say, what's the motive? I love the Lord. Amen. What's the motive? We talked about His presence and His people and His preaching. How can we do it? We got to be determined. We got to be desperate. And we got to be dedicated to the cause that God has set before us. Amen. You know, it's a blessing tonight. Sometimes we don't end up where we ought to be on purpose. Sometimes we end up where we ought to be by providence. How many heard what I just said? In other words, beloved, God is guiding. We just know we want to serve Him. And we know our life is dedicated to Him. And we end up right where we're supposed to be, right when we're supposed to be there. I'm going back to that visit in my heart right now with Devin. going in thinking we're going to go visit with two people that are saved and just encourage them. But you see, God knew. I didn't know. Brother Jason didn't know. But God knew. Amen. And the whole thing about it is we can bring one. We have the motive. We have the means. But I want to give you this. What about the mindset? There's a scripture that says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to give you some things tonight quickly. Number one, in our mindset, we ought to see an opportunity. Listen, if you have negative feelings and negative thoughts about what we're trying to do, then I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're not seeing the opportunity. There's an opportunity to do something for God. Amen? There's an opportunity. These guys saw an opportunity. Here's a man that's sick. He can't help himself. Amen. So what we're going to do, guys, let's get together and help him. Amen. And I believe if we'll see the opportunity, God will bless us for that. Amen. I thank the Lord. You know, we can't boast of tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. It's coming, I guess. But I may not be here tomorrow. I may be there tomorrow. And you may be, the whole big load may be there tomorrow. But I want you to know this, beloved. If you don't aim at anything, you hit nothing. Amen? And I'm going to aim to bring one. And I'm praying tonight that God, when this service will help some people to say, you know what, Lord? I'm determined. By the grace of God, I'm going to try my best to bring one. I'm going to try my best, amen. I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to be determined. And I know that people are desperate. You know, I'm going to say this tonight. Listen to me carefully. You may not understand what I'm going to say. But what went on in Nashville, those 3 9-year-olds, the others, I looked at Miss Eve, two of them was her age. You'll have to look at the news to find out what age that is. Two out of the three were my wife's age. And all three of them were just 2 or 3 years younger than I am. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me. Just a moment. That youngin' that did what that youngin' did, I think it was a biological female. Is that right? That was trying to be a male. Did I get that right? I'm not trying to be funny. I believe it was a biological female that was trying to be a male. Honey, our society, you listen to me, is full of young'uns. It's all mixed up. And let me tell you something else. You might not like this, but a whole lot of them had a whole lot of help getting mixed up. We're in a mess. And as I was sitting there through the prayer request, Brother Jason, Y'all may not understand, but my heart went out to that youngin's mom and dad. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. It don't matter if your youngin is in church every Sunday and serving God wide open, or if your youngin's a drunkard. Yeah. It's still your youngin. An opportunity. What if God would help us? Brother Jim told me the other day he had a friend. I'm not going to go into any detail. But his friend was so ashamed. His boy was a sodomite. And he was so ashamed of it. Daddy goes to heaven. He died and went to heaven. Daddy knew the Lord. After that, sometime after that, the boy goes and buys him a pistol, writes a note, goes down to the motel, and takes his own life. You say, Pastor, why would you tell things like that? Jim, I wish I could have gotten to him before he done that. I wish somebody could have got to him with the gospel. Maybe he was turned over to a reprobate mind. I don't know, but maybe he wasn't. Yeah. I do know this. God showed me one day studying Romans chapter 1. He gave them up. He gave them up. And then the Word of God said He gave them over. And I don't know where men and women are in that process. But if they haven't been given over, they can be saved. You say, how do you know that? Read the book of Corinthians. They were effeminate. They were abusers of themselves with mankind. And Paul looked at the church of Corinth and said, such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. All I'm saying tonight is we ought to see our life as a child of God as an opportunity to reach out yonder and rescue one. There's something worse than being sick of the palsy. It's being sick with sin. I've heard the term sin sick. If you'll read your Bible, people are sin dead. They're dead in trespasses and in sin. Brother Larry, if all of a sudden I look back there and you're not looking at me anymore, your head's down and you're falling out in that aisle, brother, I'm going to quit and I'm going to run to you and I'm going to tell somebody to call 911. Amen. You say, why? Because there's an urgency. I don't know if my brother's had a heart attack. I don't know if he's had a stroke. I don't know if we need somebody to go over here and get the machine. I can't remember what it's called to shock him. I don't know if he needs CPR, but I know he needs something. I can see that he needs something. What's wrong that we can't see this world? They don't need something. They need someone. They need the Lord Jesus. Amen. These men saw an opportunity. Let me give you this and I'll hurry. I better stop taking them steps two at a time. That knee didn't like that. The mindset, they saw an opportunity. Number two, just as soon as you take that opportunity up and say, God, I'm going to do my part. Let me tell you what's coming next. Opposition. You say, Pastor, surely to God nobody would be opposed to this man sick of the palsy. Read your Bible. I read it to you a while ago. What did the Bible say? Look in verse 6. What's the first word in verse 6? B-U-T. But. Everything's going along real good, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Don't you love Jesus? You don't even have to spit it out of your mouth. He knows what's in your heart. He knew what was in their heart, Brother Houston. Who's this guy think he is? Because there ain't but one that has power to forgive sin. That's God. I say, amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You say, Pastor, why would you quote that? What's the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to tell you something right now. These four guys on the corner, they didn't have no problem believing He's God. That guy in the middle didn't have no problem believing He's God. That bunch that had gathered in the house to hear the Word of God, they didn't have no problem. He's God. No man can do these miracles. Amen. Listen to me. I believe just as sure you and I take up the opportunity, the opportunity that God's putting in front of us to bring one, you watch the opposition. I'm thinking about work now. Yeah, you let somebody down at work get saved and get on fire for God. You say, boy, one old preacher said, man, he said, when God called me to preach, I just knew everybody was going to love me. They would if he's a compromiser. But if you stay in that book, honey, some ain't going to like it. I'm going back in my mind, Brother John to Brother Mitchell in the doctor's office. He'd be a witness to people. He'd be a whole room full. He said it wouldn't be just a minute. They'd open that door and say, Mr. Mitchell! He wanted to close that up. Amen. You can say whatever you want to. Everybody in that doctor's office don't love Jesus. There's going to be opposition every way we turn. But how many knows there's one bigger than the opposition? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, I get to call my son after a while. I give my son this morning the Reader's Digest condensed version of this. He said, Dad, ain't no way you'll get all that preached tonight. I'm going to call him and say, son, I got her done. Amen. And they didn't go to sleep. That's good. The last thing in the message, in the mindset, there's an opportunity, there's opposition, but I want you to see an observation. The Bible said immediately in verse 12, he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them. What's that next word? There wasn't one. There wasn't one scribe. There wasn't one in the house. There wasn't one of the four. Every one of them knew what God had done. And went forth before them all, insomuch that they, what's that next word? All of them was amazed. Now, I want to say something to you tonight, and I think you'll get a hold of this. Man can do things, and it might amaze some, because you can fool some. But I'm going to tell you what, if God does it, I believe everybody, whether they understand it or not, will be amazed at what God is doing. An observation. They were amazed and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Brother Dale, I don't know, is the meeting still going on in Weber City? And it's still going on? And they're saying that young people have gotten stirred up. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. I want to tell you something right now. Real revival, Brother Jason, you mentioned, only comes from God. Now I'm going to tell you something about real revival. You and I don't know, but God knows. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I thank God the Bible said right here, we never saw it on this fashion. I will guarantee you that Weber City never saw it on that fashion. Amen. We had a meeting in Brother C.T. Townsend came to a tent meeting up at Victory Baptist Church several years ago. Brother Cook said he's coming back next. I believe we're going to try to get him back next spring, maybe in May of next year. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There are men that come in that meeting, and they joined in that meeting, and they prayed in that meeting. And there are other men, beloved, listen, that are jealous of a meeting like that. I've run into that as pastor. I've said this before. If God gets to blessing you, beloved, somebody's going to say something like this. Well, he must be compromising. How many believes obedience is something God blesses? Amen. He blesses prayer. He blesses his word. His word's going forth. Amen. It shall not return void. For Easter, we have a motive. We have the means. And we ought to have the mindset to see the opportunity, to know there will be opposition, but to be able to observe, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.